the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk, our final hour. I'm Jimmy Hines with Vince Farrar. We have got news about Knox County High Schools. We've got news coming out of the Big Ten. We have got news coming out of Colorado State. We're going to get to all that shortly, but first it's the Sports Fix at 6. We're giving away a $50 certificate to 865 Axe Throwing. And this is a Knoxville's first and premier outdoor axe throwing venue. Great activity for all kind of groups and events. Whether you're looking for a unique date night or a fun scout group outing or a team-building retreat, 865 Axe Throwing is the place to be. So that's what's up for grabs if you can answer this trivia question. So Tom Brady just turned 43. Since the AFL-NFL merger in the 1960s, there have only been three quarterbacks in the NFL that have started a game after turning 43. Name two of those three quarterbacks. Asking for all three is too hard. But we're going to ask you for two, because two of them are certainly big-name quarterbacks that you would recognize. So Tom Brady just turned 43. There are three quarterbacks since the NFL-AFL merger that have started a game after turning 43. Name two of those three NFL quarterbacks. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on the Sports Fix.
Okay, if I understood the question correctly, I come in about halfway through it. Quarterbacks have started a game after turning 43, correct?
Three of them have started an NFL game. Name two of those three.
Let's go George Blanda and Vinny Testaverde.
Okay, you got one out of two. The thing that hurt you is, and you might not have heard this part, since the merger of the AFL-NFL. But Blanda, that's a really good guess for George Blanda. And he, you know what, I think he was actually kicking for the Raiders in his 40s after he was 43, but I don't think, apparently he didn't start a game. But that's a great guess, but your second guess was correct.
Okay. I think I know the second one anyway, so I'll hang on. I'll go back and listen to him then.
That's a really good try, Mark. Really good try. Good guess. Let's go to Reed. Reed, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hi, guys. Would it be Testaverde and Y.A. Tittle?
Not Y.A. Tittle. And remember, Tittle played before the merger. So we're looking for like 1966 going forward. But Tittle was around for a long time. I'm not sure he played at 43, but I could see where you would guess Tittle because he did play when he was up in age. But, hey, Reed, we appreciate it. Thank you. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're on the Sports Fix.
What's been the good guesses so far?
Well, we had one correct guess. He played quarterback at Miami and won a Heisman Trophy. That's the only one we've gotten so far, Chuck.
Okay, well, so that's Testaverde?
Yep.
What about Johnny Unitas?
Not Unitas. Good try, though. I don't know how old Unitas was. I think he actually started a game in the NFL when he was 40 or 41, but not 43. But, Chuck, that's a really good guess. Appreciate it. So, Tom Brady, he just turned 43 recently. Since the AFL-NFL merger in 1966, there are three quarterbacks who started a game in the NFL at age 43. One has been guessed. The other two have not. One is just way too hard. But one of these guys could have very well played in the CFL before he went to the NFL. Let's see if that helps anybody. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Any guessers? Let's go to Josh.
That was a great clue, though, Jimmy.
I'm sorry?
Hey,
I just said that was a great clue.
Yes, I think so. I hope so.
Hey, how's it going? Was it Warren Moon and Vinny Testaverde?
Yes, yes. Did you know Moon, or did the hint give it to you?
that helped out a lot. CFL helped out a lot.
I was afraid we'd be here many moons if we didn't give a hint. But Moon only started one game after turning 43. Vinny Testaverde was 2-2 as a 43-year-old quarterback, or at least 43. The other one that I thought, well, I'll tell you what, Vince, you might be able to get this one. He started for Tampa Bay when he was like 45. Do you know it?
45.
I think I'm right about that.
No, I knew Vinny. The hint gave me Warren Moon, but I don't know who the other one is.
Yeah, I meant to Google it. I was
DeBerg, the other one?
Yes, it's DeBerg.
DeBerg, yeah. Great.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Nice job.
Well, Josh, thank you, guys.
Yeah, well, hold on now. You've won a $50 gift certificate to 865 Axe Throwing, so we're going to put you on hold so you can learn how to throw an axe, unless you already know. But, hey, congratulations to you, Josh. Good job. Good job.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. And hold on now. So that'll do it for the Sports Fix at 6. Vince, I did see this note that was of some concern. Knox County schools are not going to open until August the 24th. There are football games scheduled for August 20 to 21. Knox County school system did say that those football games could go on as scheduled. At least that's what I saw following Twitter. But my first reaction was, uh-oh. But I think that's good news if they are still intending to continue with football games even before schools are open in Knox County.
Yeah, you know, obviously they're practicing and started the padded practices largely yesterday. So, you know, it would be hard to have them. They're already doing things there at the school. And to push it back a week when they're already preparing, I don't think there's any safety benefit in doing that. So I think it's the right move, as long as obviously everybody is staying safe, to, even though they're pushing school back a week, to, you know, have those games begin. You know, we'll see. I'm sure there's people that would differ in that opinion, but. You know, it's at least we got clarification, and that wasn't floating out there for too long, you would think.
So we are going to discuss what looks like a pretty bad situation at Colorado State. Also, some news coming out of the Big Ten. We'll have that when we come back. With Vince Ferrara, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Stores.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrara. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Vince, the Big Ten. So they have not released their schedule yet. They're delaying it because of the outbreak that occurred at Rutgers. We talked about how Rutgers went from 15 cases to 28, and then the Big Ten commissioner was discussing that they are considering canceling the season in the Big Ten. That would certainly be stunning news coming out of the Big Ten if they go in that direction.
Canceling the season for the conference or for Rutgers?
For the Big Ten conference.
Wow. That's extreme. That's surprising. I would think that they would move on without Rutgers before making a league-wide decision like that.
If it's the
biggest issue at Rutgers, I don't know. Maybe that's a scare tactic for Rutgers, that you would now be responsible for, if you don't get your act together, the whole conference is going to come down, so you may want to get things right rather than just you. I don't know. But that sounds like a huge step for an issue that's at Rutgers that may or may not be able to be alleviated.
Yeah, so we'll continue to follow that one. And then here's another one. There have been complaints among Colorado State athletes that coaches have told players not to report COVID-19 symptoms. They've threatened players with reduced playing time if they are quarantined, and claiming that Colorado State is altering contact tracing reports to keep players practicing. Wow. If that's true, you got a serious issue at Colorado State.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there are more examples of other sports, like that there was a group of volleyball players that were eating together and really close at arm's length, and one of them had COVID, and then when they did the questioning for them, they asked them if they were wearing masks, and they all said no, and then none of them were quarantined. So other athletes were like, well, what is that? Now they may have it too, and you know, what if somebody ends up on a breathing tube because you're just letting some people skate and other people quarantined? So there are a lot of different examples, but it sounds like a lot of this is alleging that the coaches are being protected more so than the players and some of the staff members for the sake of getting a football season and playing these sports and basically making money off of the players. And that's how some of the players and the staff feel like. And it, because of the cases have grown, now they're still feeling they're willing to speak up. Although some of the examples, the interviews, the players wanted to remain anonymous out of fear of retribution. That's not good if there's that still, you know, in play there at CSU.
Mm, boy, that could be devastating to that program. And and if the coaches did that, I don't feel sorry for them. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. If that occurred.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that would surprise me, you know, with Steve Adazio, who's the coach there. He's older as well, and so is his defensive coordinator, who's 61. And some of the players and the staff said that both of them that are older rarely wear their masks. So, I mean, that would appear to be risky for them and obviously risky for everybody else. Where's your protocol if these things are true? Who's checking on them as well? So these are, and then people are going to wonder, okay, if that's what's happening at Colorado State, what's happening at all the schools that have many more millions at stake? So now maybe there are more resources to be able to cross-check and make sure that these kind of things aren't happening because the stakes are so high. But I could understand people thinking that at the bigger schools that this is happening as well.
Also, we did see where the Big 12 is looking at starting their season in mid to late September. So they have not actually declared the week, but mid to late September is what they're saying at this point. And this is pretty weird. The Pirates-Twins baseball game was delayed because somebody was flying a drone over the outfield. How about that? Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, and if you're flying a drone when the Twins are playing, you better watch out because the Twins
might get hit. Yeah.
Can hit it and they can leave the ballpark and take you with them. So,
all right. Colorado and Minnesota high school football programs are going to move to spring. They're not going to play high school football in the fall in Colorado, Minnesota, moved to the spring, according to Brett McMurphy of the stadium. Luka Doncic had a huge game today. How about this one? 34 points, 20 rebounds, 12 assists. He is the youngest player ever to have a 30-20-10 as Dallas beat the Kings 114-110. I'm trying to figure out what makes him so great, but one of the things about him, he has incredible body control, and he never looks like he's in a hurry but he's driving by people. He's getting shots up. He's got incredible confidence. This guy's an amazing player, Vince.
He is. Vision, understands angles. You mentioned under control. He always seems to be under control and balanced. Mark Jackson said the other day, I think it was during the Mavericks-Rockets game, he said that Luka Doncic is a blend of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. And he didn't just, like, accidentally slide that out there. He's like, I know that for some people that's way over the top because of the Hall of Famers and icons that those two are. But he said he's that kind of incredible talent. Still has you have to sustain for a long period of time and win championships and all that to get on that level. But he was talking about skill set of a basketball player. I mean, he's ridiculous. And that Mavericks team is sneaky good.
Yeah.
And they won again today, like you mentioned. And Jimmy, one other thing, you may have mentioned this. Sorry if I'm jumping the gun on you. But the Brooklyn Nets today, who are in that 8 seed in the Eastern Conference, mm-hmm. they upset the Milwaukee Bucks today, 119-116. And according to a one of the Vegas websites and Twitter accounts, that is the biggest upset in the NBA. The Bucks were a favorite. It's the biggest upset in the NBA since 1993, when the Mavericks were 19.5 point underdogs to the Supersonics at the time. That's how big of an upset in terms of point spread the Bucks lost to the Nets was today, and that could be a preview of an 8-1 matchup in the first round of the playoffs.
The note I saw about it was that's the third largest underdog win in the last 30 years. So that goes back to 1990. And right. The Nets were without three starters who were out for a variety of reasons. I didn't realize this. Milwaukee's 2-6 in its last 8 games. Wow. That surprised me. I didn't realize they were struggling like that. But 19-point underdog. Wow. And to win that game. We got a quick tennis note I want to bring to you as far as the U.S. Open. So we talked about Rafael Nadal, the defending champion, withdrawing on the men's side. Nick Kyrgios is withdrawn on the men's side. We have seen where the number one ranked female player, Ashley Barty, is withdrawn from the U.S. Open, which starts August the 31st. The U.S. women, though, they have got an incredibly strong field of players, including Serena Williams, Madison Keys, Allison Risk, Sloane Stephens, Danielle Collins, Coco Gauff, Venus Williams, Taylor Townsend. That's a tremendous list of female players. Women's tennis, the U.S. and women's tennis is outstanding. They've got some great players, much more so than the men's side. But anyway, those players are set to play in the U.S. Open, and if they have any more opt-outs, it looks pretty evident that somebody from the U.S. is going to win the U.S. Open. And again, that's provided they do play. They're scheduled to, but you know how fluid things are right now all over the place. So we will see what happens there. There was another note that I saw too, which this is Florida Atlantic. They have a quarterback by the name of Chris Robinson. He is an Oklahoma transfer. He's been in trouble several times, and all of a sudden, boom, he's no longer on the team. So he is not on the roster for Florida Atlantic, a quarterback who was projected by many to be a starter for them. I got a Major League Baseball note here. I think it's incredibly impressive, and I wanted to get your take on this because I know you follow baseball pretty close. Sonny Gray, Major League pitcher, he's had 36 consecutive starts in which he is not allowed more than 6 hits. That to me is a remarkable stat. I saw this on ESPN. I haven't double-checked it. But that's pretty darn good to have 36 consecutive starts without giving up more than 6 hits in an outing. Wow.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He is one of the better pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. And it's funny, the Reds, they were kind of trolling John Smoltz a little bit because MLB Network put out a graphic of John Smoltz's top five returning starting pitchers this season. He has Jacob DeGrom, one, from the Mets, Garrett Cole, the Yankees, two, Shane Bieber of Cleveland, who's having a great start to the year at three, Max Scherzer for the Nationals, four, and Brandon Woodruff from Milwaukee, number five. Now, you could come up with more starting pitchers that are terrific, and you can make a case for a top five, but obviously for the Reds, they're saying, hey, we're Sonny Gray. So all the Reds did was tweet, does anyone know Smoltz's Twitter handle? So they could point out that he left out Sonny Gray, and he has been so dominant. The eye test tells you he's been that good. But, Jimmy, that's an astounding statistic because that means his runs are low. He has swing and miss stuff, which he certainly does. And, you know, he's not a guy that's just always looking for the strikeout. He gets it, but he's not afraid of contact either. He's just terrific, and that is just an astonishing statistic.
I thought it was, too. And what I have no idea about is what's the second best streak like that active going on right now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, so but that really caught my attention when I saw that. That's pretty remarkable that somebody's able to do that. When we come back, Vince, I want to talk about the blog that you wrote about SEC schedules. Who should be playing whom? What strength of schedule looks like? What if you just took the next two crossover opponents in the next 2 years? How would that look? So let's dive into that when we come back. By the way, I'm sorry. Before we take a break, let's go to Tim. Tim, you're on Sports Talk.
Hey, Jimmy. How you guys doing?
Doing fine, Tim.
Good. Listen, I really appreciate you guys taking my call because I am one of those on the COVID-19 side that is analyzing these statistics and realizing more and more they're not – it's not a pandemic. So when I heard that the Colorado State coach might be held liable or people are going to be held liable, I want to know what's going to happen on the other side if this quote-unquote plandemic, which I call it, people are held accountable for the lockdown of the economy, for sports, for everything. What are your thoughts about that? Have you guys thought about that? Do you discuss it? I don't hear anything but COVID-19. It's a sure thing. Quite frankly, a lot of people on the, especially sports side, I think you're sick of it. So I just would love for once to hear somebody really, Jimmy, I respect you guys and Vince. You all have to hear the other side at this point. It's just become problematic, and, you know, by the way, one last thing. I will say I loved hearing your interview with Archie Manning. It was very inspirational. So
he's great, wasn't he?
Hang out. Oh, man, I tell you, I love the Mannings, and Jimmy, you always do a great job in your interviews, I got to tell you.
Well, thank you.
Look, it's just something that I think a lot of people are weary of when we don't see or hear it. Guys, from your perspective,
so
I don't know what you're allowed to say or not allowed to say, but look, there's so much. I'm in the medical field.
Yeah.
There's so much evidence now that this thing is not what a lot of people are saying it is. And I'm talking with people at nursing homes and hospitals every day. It's just not real. So,
boy, I don't know how you could say it's not real. Over 155,000 people have died. Now, I will say this, Tim.
Let's back up.
Can I complete my sentence? So you're not going to let me complete my sentence. All right, go ahead. All right, here we go. Here's the deal. I do believe there that to a degree the numbers have been inflated. For example, I was told about a case where somebody was killed in a motorcycle accident, and then that caused the death, and then they found traces of COVID-19, and it was claimed as a COVID-19 death. So do I think that sometimes the numbers are inflated a little bit? I do, but I don't. But I think this is serious. I think people should take it seriously. I think if you have a pre-existing condition, it's killing people. There have been people that have had COVID-19 parties saying, I'm going to get this, and they died after they got it. I think it's a big deal. So, Tim, we may see this differently, but I think it's a huge issue, and I also think it's one reason we may not have college football this year, because if we continue to have these outbreaks, and I don't buy that it's no worse than the flu. So that's my take. So, Tim, we may see it differently. You still with us?
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm here. Listen, I appreciate your response. The bottom line is bigger.
Okay.
What happens economically and socially when this is carried out like it is, Jimmy? Listen, people are dying. We have a whole economy that is being shut down for the sake of a virus that is, you said it. You just said it. It might not be any bigger than the flu. Guys, we got to get our heads around it.
No, I said it's bigger than the flu.
Well, a little bit, but actually the numbers say it's not. So we
not
have
the
to
numbers
actually
I've seen.
Be, okay, what are they? What are the numbers, Jimmy, in Tennessee?
I don't know the numbers in
I've
Tennessee.
Got them
I'm talking
right
about
in
the
front of me.
I'm talking about the United States. I'm talking
well,
about how many deaths there are due to COVID-19 versus the flu a year ago.
Yeah, it's very similar. It's off by like 0.5%. Jimmy, come on, really?
That's not what I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Really? Okay, Tennessee, do you know the numbers there?
I don't know them off the top of my head, no.
Find them. Because you're responsible, brother. You're reporting this stuff every day, and these people in the sports community are too. It is not what is being reported.
I disagree with you. I'm sorry. We're just on a different page, Tim. We're on a different page here.
All right. So, bottom line.
What?
Do you think that shutting down sports and the economy is better than the outcomes of COVID-19?
Yes.
Okay. Bottom line, you answered it.
Yeah,
no, you answered it, so you're going to be responsible for the...
I'm not responsible for it because I didn't shut it down, Tim. Let's get real. Come on now. But
no,
I'm telling you this is a serious issue. And as people... Go ahead.
Jimmy, listen, I respect you, but when we get so one-sided, there's too much at stake to just give in to these numbers. They are not true. Listen, I love your show. I've listened to your show for 20 years. Love you guys, but I know I'm not the only one that believes that people are not believing that this is a real, COVID-19, yeah, it's a real virus. But the response to it is political. And it's
100%
not
disagree.
Medical.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Tim, we're on a
All
different
right,
well, page.
Listen.
Okay, but thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. But we completely disagree on this issue. All right. When we come back, we'll talk about the SEC crossover scheduling and Vince's blog about that. This is Sports Talk, 99.1, The Sports Animal.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
53 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Thank you.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrar. The SEC, we expect this week, is going to announce a new schedule with 10 conference games to be played. Some think that the SEC should look at the next two crossover opponents for Tennessee, for example, that's Ole Miss and LSU, and just play those. Others look at, hey, you got to have strength of schedule component to this. They've got to reshuffle the whole deck. Vince, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think those are the two most likely models, and the easier one to do would be those crossover games. Some people are going to say, hey, it's not fair. Look at Florida, as we talked to Chris Doering about earlier in the show, who was terrific. And you can find that podcast and everything, all the other interviews at 991thesportsanimal.com. But Florida would add in that scenario a home game against Alabama and then a road game at Texas A&M. The 2021 games would be home games for the East. The 2022 games would be home games for the West. They alternate each season. So that would be the easiest, cleanest, simplest one to do. It should also, in theory, take away any of the conspiracy theories that the SEC is intentionally loading the schedule against this team or favoring another team, because it's already been predetermined. I think when you're looking at that model, Jimmy, I think you got to lay out the other two cross-division games with it to more fairly judge who's getting the short end of the stick and who has it worse. With Florida, they're one example where it would be tougher for them, because they already play LSU at home and then they're at Ole Miss. But some of the others, when you lay them out with their other two opposing division games, it evens out a little bit. For example, if you're talking about Tennessee, they would add a home game against Ole Miss and at LSU. Fans would say, well, we don't need another tough team at LSU. We got a bunch of top 10 teams already. Well, Tennessee does have one of them in Alabama, and the other one is the worst team in the league in Arkansas. So in that scenario, you'd have two of the tougher teams in the league, and you have two of maybe the bottom three or four teams in the league, including the worst one in Arkansas. So that might balance out for you. So there's plenty of things to look at from that standpoint. As far as the other one, the strength of schedule, this is a lot more complicated, Jimmy. And this is one where I laid out in my blog the opponent's strength of schedule. If they're just going to judge it off of last year's record of those teams that everybody plays, South Carolina has the toughest opponent win percentage on their schedule. That means they have the toughest schedule. Their opponents were 37-27 in SEC-only games last year. That's a 58% win percentage. Second is Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Alabama, Auburn, and Mississippi, and Ole Miss, all of them at 52% with a 33-31 combined opponent record. The easiest, A&M and Missouri have an opponent win record of 28-36. That's 44%. Now, Tennessee is just barely above that. Their opponents, their total record is 29-35. That's tied with LSU for 11th in the league. That means they have one of the three or four easiest schedules in the SEC in conference games only, if you just go off of last year's SEC games. There's other ways to do it, Jimmy. As you know, you could do it in overall games from last year. In that scenario, it doesn't change anything for South Carolina. South Carolina, total overall record of each of the teams of their current eight SEC opponents, had a record of 71-34. It's 68%. And then the easiest was Texas A&M and Missouri again, 54-48. So there's a little bit of a discrepancy there. And Tennessee comes in 10th in the league, their opponents at 57-44. So another part of that, besides strength of schedule, is how do you make it all work? How do you put those puzzle pieces together? And I tried doing it, and if anyone else wants to try doing it, good luck to you. It is not easy. Maybe computers can spit it out to where you could have it. But if you're going to judge teams on strength of schedule, Jimmy, you would think you'd rank them who has the easiest to the most difficult, right?
Yep.
And then you would try to reverse that in the games that you are adding, those 9th and 10th conference games. But when you try doing that, when you're talking about two games, you give a team, you give one team that has the easiest schedule, two teams, you go one or two teams down, and then suddenly you're like, oh, wait, we can't give that. Oh, wait, this gives this team who already has a tough schedule Georgia and LSU, you know, not Georgia and LSU, Georgia and Florida or whatever. It is not easy to do. They will have a challenge in spitting out something that strength to schedule a model, but have everyone still be happy with it. I don't think you're going to get that. I think some fan bases are going to be upset one way or the other.
When I look at this, I think in most occasions, you can find an opponent playing a good to great team and a mediocre to a bad team. For example, right. Let's just take Tennessee. I would put Ole Miss in the mediocre to bad, LSU in the good to great. Okay, most of them play out that way. But if you're Florida, as you alluded to, Alabama and A&M, those are two top 15 teams, Alabama top 5 team, preseason polls. Georgia gets a break with Arkansas and Mississippi State. I don't think either one of those teams are very good. Missouri would have a tough road. They got A&M and Auburn. Both of those teams are projected by somebody to be in the top 15. Then you've got Auburn, which would have an easier path. They would have South Carolina and Missouri, and neither one of those teams are any good, in my opinion. So you have – but for the most part, you've got something like South Carolina plays Auburn and Arkansas. Okay, that balances out. Kentucky plays Ole Miss, LSU. That balances out. So a lot of it does. Here's the other thing that's risky about strength of schedule. Okay, one team last year was really good, but now they've lost 17 starters. So they're not going to be as good this year. Are you going to factor that in? Are you going to only go by their record last year? So
yeah,
it's not easy.
And coaching changes as well, Jimmy.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and Chris Doering pointed those out that, you know, there's a number of them in the league, and it's hard to get your team going and change the culture and things like that when you have a new coaching staff. And then, you know, some teams are going to be better. Like, people expect Tennessee to be better. So are they going to be judged off of last year's record or this year's record? Chris Doering, he referenced that maybe they should do it over a five-year period. Who's been toughest over the last 5 years? That is imperfect also, but maybe that kind of even. But if you do that, I don't know that the results are going to be that different than they are now. You're going to have a wrong read on Tennessee. Tennessee is going to be better than what those five-year numbers are going to spit out for you.
Right.
So then someone gets Tennessee and said, wait a minute, that's supposed to be one of our easier games? How did we get Tennessee? So it's going to be tough either way. That's why I think the crossover would be the easiest one. But, again, that would not make everybody happy. And just real quick on that one, you know, Florida would have it tough in getting their two games, and you mentioned what Georgia would add. But when you look at Georgia's existing schedule is Auburn and Alabama. So it kind of evens out for them. They already have two tough games. They get two easier games. That's one that is even. Now, it's not even with Florida because Florida now would have three tough games versus two for Georgia. But for a lot of other teams, there is a balance, and where you get end up with two either average or below average teams and two tougher teams. But it's going to be imperfect either way. And I just want to point those out, that people are looking at those two ad games as a bubble. You got to look at the totality of it for those crossover ones. And then for the strength of schedule, it's people may want that competitive balance, but I'm guessing it's not going to be as clear and as fair as people are hoping it to be. And then with the Big Ten, they're saying, well, forget the competitive balance. You got to get good matchups on TV. You got to try to get the marquee matchups. Do they say, hey, we're going to find a way to put Georgia and LSU, because each team has five teams from the other division that they could potentially get those two games from? Do you just start saying, we want this, CBS wants this, so we're going to match up Georgia and LSU and then start doing some of that and then fill it in around that? I don't know. But any television is has so much to do with the money in the sport. I wonder if they kind of lean, hey, make sure the computer spits this out for us.
The one thing we haven't heard much of, at least I haven't, is to try to do it geographically. So you right. don't want to necessarily send Florida all the way to Texas A&M. Maybe you yeah. try to have a team that's of closer proximity so you don't have as far to travel. I don't know if that's a consideration. I haven't heard it be a consideration, but I do wonder if that is something they would try to look at to limit your travel in some of these situations. Maybe not, but I am really curious to see what they come up with. I would not want to be in the shoes of Mark Womack, the assistant commissioner, who's got to put this together.
Exactly. And I would, Jimmy, I would send that idea to Philip Fulmer, and maybe he can present it with the play your interdivision games first and then the crossovers later. And maybe we can get a whole Jimmy Himes plan to 2020.
Anything I can do to help. I just want to play. All right. When we come back, we'll have our last segment. If you want to join us, 656-9900 with Vince Ferrara. I'm Jimmy Himes, Sports Talk, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
99.1 The Sports Animal. Just because your workday is boring doesn't mean your radio station has to be.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Vince Ferrara and Jimmy Himes. Got just a little bit of time left. Let's work in Roger. Roger, you're on Sports Talk.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Vince. How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing very well. Thank you. What you got,
good,
Roger?
Good. Well, I just wanted to ask you first, Jimmy. I want to ask you about YouTube football, but first, I want to ask you, Jimmy, about the SME days. Jimmy, I've not heard anything about it yet. So I asked you, do you know if they're going to have it? I know it's kind of later, but have you heard if they're going to have it at all? They see me days. I know they usually have it July, but the virus thing. Have you heard anything if it's going to be moved to later on or not have it all, Jimmy? Have you heard?
Well, it definitely has been postponed. Now I don't know if they're having it for sure. The last I heard was they were planning to have it. The issue there is they've got to – I think they want to get the schedule set. And once they set the schedules, we may still have it. But we already know one conference has already canceled their virtual media days. But the SEC has not canceled the virtual media days yet. They might or they might go on once the schedule is set. So I just don't know at this point, Roger.
I hear you. And also Jimmy and Vince both, have you heard yet? But you can football, but the kids will four passes. You know if we're gonna have passes in here soon. And I know you said we'll be meeting some media soon, but four passes wise, you see football passes. You know if we're gonna have it anytime soon this month or not.
Roger. And Roger, I appreciate the phone call. Tennessee was supposed to start this Friday, but the SEC has come out and said, no, you're not allowed to do that. So the first practice is going to be August the 17th, and then the 20-hour rule will be in play at that time. Right now it's still a 14-hour-per-week rule, and you still cannot have contact. But, again, Tennessee was going to start on Friday, and that has been moved to August the 17th for safety reasons. So – Vince, anything you want to add to that?
No, just 25 practices within a 40-day period. Players have to have 2 off days per week, so I think that's the smart way to adjust it.
Yeah, I do too. So we will see. Vince, I appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to getting together tomorrow. We got a great list of guests tomorrow that folks will enjoy. So we look forward to that. Thanks, Vince.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jimmy.
And I want to thank everybody that called. I want to thank everybody that listened. We do want to thank our guests as well today. This has been Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.